Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Now, we open the floor for questions if you have any. Yes, Akhi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, my question is, as you said earlier, suppose if the person is getting married and he is bringing his wife to family where they are residing in a joint family, so it is forbidden or maybe it is haram for a brother-in-law to come, you know, in contact with the female. But in a current scenario, in at least in the subcontinent, where when the person reaches to the marriage stage, it is absolutely not, he is not in a position that he can afford a alternate house. So he has to, you know, bring his wife to the joint family only, and where also the rooms and the flats in which they are residing are also very small. So it is become very difficult for them, you know, to not come into the contact with each other. So what will be the ruling in that condition?
Well, we will have a hadith later on, inshallah. So I don't want to burn the hadith by discussing this issue, but apparently I have to. The Prophet was asked, alayhi salatu wasalam, once when he stated the following, do not enter upon women. So man said, O Prophet of Allah, what about the in-laws? What about the brother-in-law? The Prophet said, Assalam, the brother-in-law is death if you allow him to enter. This is what is the meaning. So your circumstances do not permit falling into sin. Your brother is not entitled by any means to mix with your wife. Your brother from your father and mother, your blood and flesh, is not entitled, is not permitted, because his danger is far greater than the danger of a stranger. A stranger, when he talks to your wife, she will refrain. I don't know him, someone from the street. If he says a joke, I'm not gonna laugh. I'm not gonna smile. He's a stranger, he's someone I don't know. But when your brother cracks a joke, or when your brother says to his sister-in-law, how are you, my sister-in-law? How are things? How are you feeling today? Would she keep silent, or she would feel that there is some sort of relationship? He's my brother-in-law. So she would laugh. Maybe she would respond in another joke. And this is what Islam forbids from. This is how shaitan works. Allah says, do not follow the steps of shaitan. Step number one is this. And I have, you know, I'm not young. I have a lot of stories about such horrible things like this. Only yesterday, something very strange happened. But stories like this are very minimal. Stories of incest, story of such haram relationship between in-laws, they're not very common in the Muslim world because the Muslims have rules from Allah to follow. And that is why the majority would not fall in such sin. Once you break the rule, once you go against Allah's commands in the Quran and the prophets in the Sunnah, alayhi salatu wasalam, then stuff begins to happen that against the religion. We have such cases of haram, such cases of fornication, etc. So I hope this answers your question.
Jazakallahu khair.
Wa jazakir. Second question.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Nowadays, some people marry their children before they attain the age of puberty. So is it allowed?
Some marry their
children.
Children before the age of puberty. Is this halal? The answer is yes. It is halal and it is a marriage contract, because if they did not reach the age of puberty, then they're not fit to consummate the marriage. But it's a contract where this girl is for this boy, even if both did not reach the age of puberty, this is halal. Is it recommended? No, it's not. In some countries, it's not even legal. So you have to follow the law of the country, and you have to also follow best for your son or for your daughter. But to marry them off just for money or for prestige or for any other reason, this is unfair. You should choose the best for your son or for your daughter. As for marrying girls before the age of puberty, this is mentioned in Al-Quran, in Surah At-Talaq. I think it's verse 5 or 6, when Allah talks about the iddah, the waiting period. Allah mentions the iddah for women who do not have their menses, either because they're too old or they're too young. They're too young, meaning that they did not reach the age of puberty, and which means that if this is talking about the waiting period, the iddah, this means that the iddah resulting from divorce. So if she is divorced and not having her menses yet, this means that she is married and she did not reach the age of puberty. Question number three.
As we talk about meher, how do scholars categorize the unrolling of meher? Is it mandatory? Is it mubah?
It is definitely mandatory and part of the conditions of marriage. And Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the Muslims when they get married to pay the mahar. وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً. You have to give the mahar to the women. When the women receive it, فَإِن طِبْنَا لَكُمْ, then if they feel that they can give some of it, all over of it back to the husband, this is up to them. But there is no marriage without any mahar. And we will come to discuss the hadith that deals with mahar, even if it's any negligible thing. But the woman has to take something in exchange for giving herself to her husband and they become garment to one another. Number four.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Is there any specific reason for the prohibition of the joining of the aunt and the woman a person is marrying?
We stated that there is a specific reason that we think of. See, most of the law, most of the Quran and the Sunnah that come to us, they are logical. Yet as Muslims, we are not instructed to look for the logic, because this search for logic and reason becomes cause of deviation. Why? Now, we read the Quran and Allah says that intoxication is haram. What is the reason? Because you do not know what to say, and it makes you do things that are bad. And, okay, this is logical. Move on. Why is eating dead meat haram? It's not mentioned, the reason, except that it is filth. Likewise, pork. Now, we have medical journals saying, yes, dead meat is so-and-so, pork meat is so-and-so, it's dangerous, it has this and that. And we say, mashallah, I believe in that. What are the benefits of fasting? Allah doesn't say, except that it is a means of getting virtue or taqwa. But now doctors say that it's good for your system, it cleanses your bloodstream, it gives you this, mashallah, very good. We move on from one aspect to the other and we can find logic behind that. But then shaitan is waiting. So, okay, this is, I have no problem. Keep on, keep on. Then you come to the issue that you do not find logic behind it. What does shaitan do now? This is not logical. What do you want me to do? Reject it. It's not logical. Everything in Islam is logical. Why is gold haram for men? Because it's expensive. Okay, what's the ruling on wearing diamond, which is more expensive? No problem. No, this is not logical. Because it breaks the hearts of the poor when they see me wearing gold. Okay, what about if I wear fake gold that costs pennies? Also, they would think that it's gold. It's halal. So this is not logical. You come to many reasons, but none of them fit. Shaitan comes and says, don't accept this. A kafir comes to you. What is your religion? Praying, fasting. How do you pray? You say, we pray five times a day. He said, mashallah, very good, beautiful religion. Praying five times a day? We pray only once a week. And even that, we don't go to the church. How do you pray? You say, you have to prepare for that. You wash your hands, you wash your face, you turn the water in your mouth, you wash your arms, you wipe on your head, you wash your feet three times every time you want to pray. MashaAllah, you wash your feet 15 times a day, 3 by 5, 15 times. Said, this is the minimum. He said, ya akhi, I don't wash my face except once in the morning. Your foot is cleaner than my face. He's saying you, the kafir, and you're happy. He said, your deen, your religion is a religion of purity. Wow, mashallah, I love your religion. And you're very proud. And he says, okay, if you don't have water, what to do? He says, no problem. You just dust your hands and wipe your face and your hands. He said, what? If you don't have water, you dust your face? Why? He said, what's the logic? I don't know. This is what's in the Quran. This is called tayammum, dry ablution. Shaitan comes to you and to him. He says, oh, no, no, no. This is not logical. I don't want your religion. You think, wallahi, I don't know, he's right. No, he's not. This religion is based on submission. 99.9% you will find the logic. And there is the 0.01 to test your submission. This is not from humans. This is from Allah. Do you believe? Yes, then submit. The Qibla was to Jerusalem. Allah says, change it to Kaaba, to Mecca. The believers, what did they say? On the spot. The hypocrite said, this is not logical. Going south, then going north. What's the benefit of that? So you do not ask about the logic. You follow and submit. Now, the particular question of yours, the logic is the same with the logic of not joining the sisters together in marriage under one man. The reason would be, as some scholars say, and we cannot confirm this. We cannot say, yes, this is why Allah made it haram. Can we say this? Can anyone say, this is why? No. But we say, maybe, so that the kinship would not be broken. If I marry a woman and her aunt, who's the father of the aunt? The grandfather of the woman. So this means that there is a possibility that the woman would not see her grandfathers. Why? Because they're the parents of my aunt and they made her marry my husband. And this would cause to sever the kinship. This might be a cause, but is it taken for granted? No. Why? Because this same reason could happen if I marry cousins. They are cousins, a woman and her cousin. Maybe this would cause also to sever the kinship, but it is not mentioned. It's halal. So this is the reason that some scholars give, but you cannot guarantee that it is 100% correct, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.